These are the droids you're looking for.
Over here!
Death Star alert.
You're looking for.
This is madness.
It blew my mind when I read about it.
No, it's 100% going to be the best film in the franchise.
This is madness.
Star Wars is only now starting.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
These are the droids you're looking for.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? What are you talking about?
I felt nauseous with just pure excitement.
These are the droids you're looking for.
Why isn't it December 15th already?
And then I saw the Porg for the first time speaking. And I'll tell you what, it really whets the appetite.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Ryan and Sam, sadly without Chris, I am Mike, as Chris couldn't join us this time, but we are here to talk about some of the new rumblings around the production of Solo, a Star Wars story, as well as more comments from Mark Hamill. This is going to be a pod that's going to be... We're going to get to things quickly. We want to talk about some of this news that's been coming out. And guys, first reaction when you heard that Solo, there was an actor on the set who, after the reshoots, after the departure of Lord and Miller and the replacement of Ron Howard, had some comments about the way things were going with Lord and Miller. And when Ron Howard came in, there was control, there was vision, there were quicker shots. They did it in three takes and they were on their way. Sounds like, Ryan, maybe you might want to walk back some of your comments about Ron Howard is all I have to say.
Well, I mean, I never said he didn't do it fast, but it's interesting because this report that we're hearing from set, you know, from an unnamed actor who they pointed out was important enough to be involved in the reshoots. You know, it's all kind of things we knew already, but at the same time, it was still shocking to kind of see it all laid out that way. Just how he was saying, or she was saying that, you know, Lord Miller had actors doing upwards of 30 takes, that the actors were kind of losing their patience by the end, that Lord and Miller clearly like were in over their head, like visibly, I thought was an interesting tidbit and like kind of shocking considering, you know, they haven't only done small movies.
I thought it was interesting. I mean, I thought you have like. You know, you have to take it all with a grain of salt. This is all an anonymous thing.
Yeah.
And I think we all are aware that, you know, obvious reasons, if an actor, if this is true and an actor is, you know, speaking kind of out of speaking out of class, talking out of school, it's like they are going to want to protect their identity. But you also kind of have to go like, oh, man, you know, is this someone trying to capitalize on, you know, stretch out their 15 minutes by being, you know, this anonymous source. But one of the things that I kind of took away, like, was just, it feels to me, this types of things that the source, you know, that the leak was exposing, felt to me like somebody thinks, like, that person thinks, like, ooh, this movie's a mess. Maybe it's not bad, but it's a mess, and they want to be out in front. They want to be able to point and say, I told you so. I knew it. Like, this was awful on set. And it almost feels like it's sort of like priming the pump for that and kind of like distancing themselves a little bit. But again, not so much to risk their career by giving their name. But it was like, it was very salacious. Like, I, you know, we've talked a number of times about how, you know, I'm just like all the franchises, you know, it's like superheroes, spy movies, all that stuff. And like, this just reminded me of like a very, very small scale taste of like, I was obsessively following all the like Justice League movie drama as that was in process. Not so much. I mean, really just from like, I don't know. It's like rubbernecking, you know, it's like, I'm just fascinated with this idea of like, you know, for all the, you know, drama in Hollywood, it's actually like most of the time it seems like they keep it all under the surface. It's a pretty well-oiled machine. And so when you get these like snippets of like, you know, the mess behind the scenes, how the sausage is made, it's like, I don't know, I can't like look away. So part of me was like, I don't know, grimly like,
well,
hoping
is
all true.
But at the end of the day, look at how good Justice League turned out. You know what I mean? It's like there was all that drama behind the scenes. Is it two parts? Is it one part?
Maybe that's our Maybe
and then it just ended up an all-time classic.
Maybe that's for one of our bonus Patreon episodes. We'll do.
Oh my god! Sam talked about how we impulsively and compulsively bought Justice League on iTunes.
I'm just gonna say we've talked a lot about expanding the Space Pod Network. We could be doing a Justice League, a DC Pod. We could be doing a Bond Pod. I believe there's at least a Harry Potter
Sign
Pod
me
in here.
The Harry Potter, yeah, for sure.
The Harry Potter, yes.
That one writes itself.
Oh, boy.
Some of the comments, though, just to read what was said.
Sure.
Was that
this
Phil...
This is coming from where? Sorry.
This is coming from the Vulture article.
Okay,
Vulture.com
great.
Interviewed an actor who wanted to remain anonymous that during production, Phil and Chris Miller, as you said earlier, Ryan, had 25 takes or more, and the actors were looking at each other saying, this is kind of getting weird. We need to move on. They never did, and that they felt the pressure. They weren't competent enough, and the assistant director would step in and direct some of the scenes. Other comments included, the script did not change whatsoever, which isn't surprising to me in the transition
to Ron
Howard.
They were trying
to
protect it, it seems like.
That seemed like we knew that from the initial statement, was that they were going far too off the script, which they felt Larry Kasdan had nailed. Mm-hmm. And they wanted it to be perfect. And then the other comments were about Alden Ehrenreich and how they brought in the acting coach, which we knew before, but this actor had said Alden was not channeling Harrison Ford well enough, which makes me more concerned because the last thing you want is a bad Harrison Ford impression. What you would prefer, and I think we all thought would be the case, would be his own take on the character, not trying to be Harrison. And it sounds like Lucasfilm is maybe going in the wrong direction here.
So just to elaborate on what Sam was saying with taking this with a grain of salt, and I don't want to be super cynical and assume that this is someone trying to capitalize, but breaking down what they're saying, it just really screams to me of like an extra who wants to feel really important. So like if you look at the details of what they're saying, right? So they're saying something like the actors at 30 takes were rolling their eyes at each other kind of thing. That like rings of like someone who's like a little off to the side that wants to feel part of the inner circle, you know, like, oh, me and Donald Glover like caught eyes and we were both being impatient, like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then there's this kind of, you know, this is like really kind of getting inside baseball, but like them saying the first AD really handled most of the directing. Like if you're an extra, the person you're dealing with is the first AD. So like that's most likely the person you got the most FaceTime with. So there are just like these little micro things about the comments that I'm like, I feel like it might be someone just like with a little bit of an axe to grind or just like trying to get, you know, later they'll be like, I was the anonymous source kind of thing. But we'll see, you know, well, I mean, it's kind of fun to hear about, honestly.
And that's why we're talking about it because, you know, we're doing a podcast once a week now and we want to have something to discuss. So we're going to take any tidbit and any morsel we can to have a conversation.
If you are the anonymous source and want to reveal yourself, do so on the Droids You're Looking For podcast.
This is the platform.
I think that's an interesting read on it. Ryan, and I think you're totally right. You know, if you're someone who's, you know, background or part of a crowd scene or, you know, anything, you know, you're not going to witness, you know, the director's directing as such. You know, the people who were, you know, in the Cantabite scene didn't necessarily see, you know, how Ryan
didn't necessarily
Johnson, like,
see Mark Hamill right next to them. Is that what you're?
Oh God, don't remind me, Mike. I just got over it.
Didn't necessarily see, you know, Ryan Johnson working with Carrie Fisher the way you then get to see in that documentary. So I think that's a really good read. But I also think, you know, from, you know, the biggest part of, you know, directing, and I think this is true, you know, this is certainly true in theater, and I think it extends to film, but the biggest part of directing is kind of being able to, you know, it's running the ship, it's knowing what your people need. And, you know, a lot of the time, different actors need different things, and you hear about it all the time on set. You know, somebody, you know, puts their earbuds in and needs silence to go be in character, or somebody doesn't ever break during an entire shoot. Other people are, you know, taking naps on set or joking around, and that's their, you know, so everyone has their own vibe. And I think one of the things that might be what I was sort of distilling from those comments was like, not every actor is an improviser or is comfortable with improv. You know, most actors have a deftness for like, oh man, if a scene's going off the rails, you know, they can creatively get it back. You know, a good actor knows how to do that, but not everybody can do like, I look at like, we have like recent films, like, you know, some of Lord and Miller's hits. But then also like, I'm looking at like Thor Ragnarok, which was, you know, considered a big hit, you know, home run from Disney and Marvel. And Taika Waititi is clearly someone who's very comfortable with improv. He's encouraging a lot of that on set. You know, we talked about Favreau on Iron Man, like that, a lot of that was kind of written ad hoc on set. And so I think, you know, part of what could be happening here is that, you know, sort of poor Alden Ehrenreich is getting dragged through like, oh, needing an acting coach and not really, you know, channeling Ford, which is just coded language of like being like enough of an impression without doing an impersonation. But like, he's getting that when really it might just be like, he's an actor who last worked with the Coens, you know, who are meticulous about their scripts. They don't allow any improv. They don't allow you to go, you know, add a single or. And so if you've got these two guys like asking for dozens of reads and just wanting to see it different because they're going to, you know, their style is more like directed in the edit, that's not going to work for that guy. And so, you know, there may be a grain of truth to the idea of getting tired, getting exasperated, feeling directionless and going like, what, you know, what are these guys doing with me and my performance? Like, mm-hmm. I can't, you know, so I don't know. I heard a little bit of truth. Like, if we bring up, oh yeah, I was going to bring up for we'll make it a trifecta of Kevin Smith references, but like mm-hmm. he ran into that problem with, Bruce Willis. You know, the reason they like butted heads was that like, Kevin Smith has said like Bruce Willis just literally didn't understand how Tracy Morgan worked and what like how Kevin Smith was directing them. So it's, I don't know, it feels like it's maybe just like this was a really poor fit, you know.
But do you believe that, you know, there's a lot that can be inferred by what we heard, the statement from the actor, and we can make up our own rationale, and there's probably a lot of reasons why, as you said, Ryan, he might be doing this. But the sheer statement of the number of takes seems like a pretty clear issue. I mean, I would imagine he could have possibly made that up as well. But taking that, at least for the moment, as fact, that would be such a concern that, as you said, with the improv, they might do more takes. But at some point, you're just wasting people's time.
Well, did you hear? I thought there was interesting that so they talked about, you know, one of the big things was that, you know, Ron Howard's been able to, you know, do things in three and four takes mm-hmm. to get the shot and everything. And I thought it was interesting that they actually had a response to this article, weirdly, from Clint Eastwood, who just said, three, I'd have done it in one.
Clint's out by lunch usually. But, well, it's interesting because, okay, so I'm about to say something complimentary about Ron Howard.
Oh, boy.
Brace yourself.
Masterclass.
Here it comes. So I bought his masterclass. No. So Ron Howard comes from the Corman School, right? So that's all about efficiency. He doing as much as possible with as little money as possible. So that's one thing. Also, Ron Howard comes from a different like age of filmmaking than Miller and Lord do. They kind of came up during this kind of Judd Apatow improv thing, which, like it or not, is kind of like where comedy is right now. But Ron Howard also has years and years of experience under his belt that, like Sam said, a director's job not only is to kind of steer the ship, it's so that he or she appears to be confident. You know, like that's a huge part of it. And I think that Ron Howard, with his experience and the movies that he's made, probably just has a better skill at explaining exactly what he wants someone to do in the shortest amount of time possible. I'm sure that it was clearer what was going on as opposed to if this is to be believed. And I do believe it stylistically in terms of what Miller and Lord do, that they could be saying things like, just do it different. Like, because they just want to understand. They just want to have as many options as possible.
Well, yeah, when you look at like their, you know, any of the other films they've tackled, you know, they've been able to say that on set, and everyone who's working on it, it's a very collaborative, fun environment because there's not really the stakes and the pressure of, now, you know, if you imagine you've got, you know, an actor taking on the role of Han Solo. You've got another actor taking on the role of Lando Calrissian in, you know, the biggest franchise in movies. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're nervous. No matter who you are, you walk on that set and you're going, oh, geez, are we making a huge mistake? Did they cast me like for the right reasons? Am I the guy? And you walk on set and then you have somebody saying like, oh, give me something different. Oh, do it different. It's like, well, that's not actually, that may build confidence on a fun comedy set with no stakes, but it doesn't right. work in this environment. So
and
again,
if you,
it's,
and if you're
it's the
directing
pairing of, it's the pairing of the movie where you go, you know, Disney wants the script locked. They want the words on the page shot, and they've got, you know, an actor who I'm thinking the biggest issue with Aaron Reich, my read is that he's probably not an improviser. I think Glover was probably very comfortable on set and Aaron Reich was not. Is like, now that's me. That's, you know, Sam's coloration on this whole thing. But like, you know, if you put that all together, it's like, oh, and then these guys are, you know, losing time every single yeah. day. They're going like, trust us. We always work this way. It comes out in the edit. You know, presumably, you know, it's like, that's not going to fly.
And
not
I
whenever
think,
you've got a date, you know, in May to hit.
I think if you're doing 30 takes and your actors don't know why, then it's a directing failure. Your actor, it should be clear to them what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And you're leading confidence. You know, there's a story about like David Fincher to like break Jake Gyllenhaal on Zodiac. And I don't think this is like a good thing to do, although that's a great movie. He would have, you know, he famously does literally like 70 takes on things, and he would, to make Jake Gyllenhaal appear less confident in the scene, after 10 takes, he would go delete those takes just so that he felt like shaken. And that's not a good way to make someone feel, especially on a Star Wars movie. So
no,
like I feel for Alden Ehrenreich. I think he's a talented actor too. Like I've seen him in stuff that I think he's astounding in. So to hear that, like his, I'm sure his confidence was very shaken, and I'm sure it continues to be so.
Yeah.
So we're in. Hey man, we're behind you, Alden. If you wanna come out and talk about how your confidence was broken, come on the Droids You're Looking For podcast.
Talk about the process.
Well, I heard did I already talk about on the pod the ice cream making class that I took? Have I talked about that?
I'm really interested how this connects.
You talked about that on your ice cream pod, but not here.
right. Cone heads. So for, it was, I don't know if it was a birthday or if it was a holiday, but my partner Rachel and I, we got as a gift, we had this ice cream making class, and it was like a chocolate thing. So we went to Ample Hills, which is an ice cream place based in Brooklyn. You go up, you take the class, and one of the things they did was Ample Hills for each Star Wars movie. This was in the lead up to The Last Jedi. They do a special limited release of like flavors based on the movie, and they get like, they commission original art for the little pints that they sell. It's really cool. And they had not announced them yet.
Question, but does Chris have all of these? Answer, yes.
I got them for him. he does. I bought them for him, and he kept the pints after he ate the ice cream. Didn't share. Very rude. But he did share. He was nice. But somebody, like while we were in the class, we were using the freezer, and we saw they had them, and they hadn't announced them yet. So we, like, of course, harassed the class teachers, and we were like, hey, can you tell us about these? Like, what are the flavors? What do they look like? And he was like, he was having fun because he was like, this class of eight people, like, who are they going to tell? So he was just like, nobody can Instagram this, and, you know, showed us everything. But then the guy who was teaching this class was like, you know, yeah, I like Star Wars. I don't know, you know, about The Last Jedi. I'm really excited about the Solo movie because I love Han Solo. I think that's going to be great. And this other guy in the class was like, oh, yeah, I went to high school with Alden, who's playing Han. And he's like, he was like the guy who won all the high school drama awards. Like, he was like Broadway bound in the yearbook or whatever. But he was like, he's super high strung. He's like, this guy has been apparently, and this is something I'm talking with having done zero research, but apparently he's been, he's been like on the cusp of Like, he's had these, like, he's been tangentially, like, in the running for all these breakout roles and had all these, like,
You had talked about that part before. Yeah.
And so this idea, well, this is where it came from. Ice cream shop talk.
Yeah.
You know, and so this guy with all these like near misses, and so apparently, you know, and I can only imagine, I'm like, geez, can you imagine like that personality then taking on a Harrison Ford role?
Yeah,
that's the worst decision.
Listen, so. I'm an uninformed person, and I know this is killing Alden Ehrenreich.
All right, I think that we should move on to our other main story, which is the continuing drama.
Speaking of things killing people.
Mark Hamill, letting out a little bit more news.
It's killing him, he's killing us.
About his character being killed. He did say that George Lucas had talked to him at what point, we don't know, but imagine some point in the history of their relationship, he had said that he thought Lucas believed that Luke would make it in his third trilogy, would have made it to episode 9 and would have trained Leia, would have been the main story, and that never happened in The Last Jedi. So Mark Hamill continues to bring up different reasons or pleads in ways that Luke could have survived, and if it would have gone differently for him, he would have been the star of this new trilogy.
This is also apparently
Mark Hamill is the guy at the bar who's like, yeah, George, my friend, you know, George. Yeah, George. Well, he was talking to me, and it's just like,
this is also apparently
up.
This is apparently contradictory. This is apparently contradictory to another version of George's original ideas for 7, 8, and 9 that he's told.
I don't know. I think I do love him, and I'm being hard on him because I think there's this element, it struck me in that the documentary, we hit on this last week. It really, really, really bothers me that Hamill's take on the whole thing was to say, you know, once I got my head wrapped around it, I was there to execute his vision. And once it was explained to me, you know, I'm just the actor. That's my job. And it's frustrating to me because I'm like, yes. And that is your job. So you should be behind it. And you're not. You're sitting here telling you're telling all of us that you're behind it because it's the right thing for you to say, but not really because you don't agree with it. And it's like, that's no class.
And it's a cop out to me because he's doing a thing where he's like, if people like it, that's great. And if people don't like it, I don't like it either. You know, like it's he's playing it both ways. Yeah. And I agree with you, Sam. I wish he would just either agree with it or disagree with it. You know, like either he has to be like, I didn't like this movie, which he can do and kind of has done, or say like I stand behind the movie, which he's also done. So it's right. It's a little, it's just this ongoing saga that it's like, let people enjoy it or don't. But you know, of course I love Mark Hamill. But
he's allowed it to fester within the fanboy fractured community because a lot of them illustrate, or they use him to illustrate their point that even Luke Skywalker wasn't on board, and this continuing negative discourse that is surrounding, unfortunately, The Last Jedi. I mean, you continue to see articles that are posing it as some sort of a failure of a film because it didn't make higher than expectations at the box office that The Force Awakens did. And
well, I
don't want to see this film go down in history as this disappointment, especially because who knows what that means for the future of the Star Wars filmmaking if they see this as, well, we tried to tell an original story. It didn't work out for us. So now we're going back to more, you know, repetitive fare.
We got all these Hamill heads standing outside with their signs.
But you have to look at, like, I think the other thing that annoys me about it and that feels irresponsible about it, like, besides just not being, like, besides just feeling to me like unprofessional and kind of like sort of like biting the hands that feeds you a little bit, is like there's also an element that I'm like, look at the vocal base who is complaining about this film. They are not, like, on by any stretch, they are not the people you want to align yourself with. I think I have seen plenty of people like smartly critique the film, smartly say, I didn't like the film and here's why, and calmly present it. But, you know, the loudest voices are the ones that are like these, you know, MRA neckbeards, like mid-50s guys who are like, super sad that like their dad isn't the hero anymore.
Well,
and it's like, and he is fanning those flames.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think it's like,
you have a
platform that's like, that's irresponsible. Like, if you want to talk about the merit of like the film structure and you had problems, you know, and you want to engage in that debate, I still think it's a little, you know, classless to do that to the thing that made you literally all your money and the reason we know your name. But if you want to do that, fine. But like this whole thing of just like dipping the toe in the waters, it's like, come on, man, look at these people. Like, look at who you're propping up.
Yeah, it's like, well, plenty of people that like, plenty of rational people like don't like the movie, but like what you're talking about, like this vocal minority of like MRA dudes that are like, these are the ones who are responding to this, and these are the ones he's speaking to. And that's what's like not sitting right with me, is that he's like aligning himself with the dudes that are complaining that like Ray is a Mary Sue. And I have like no patience for it. And it's
that,
like,
you've articulated far better. I like went on a rant, and that,
well,
I
no,
agree. That's
I, you
exactly.
got me like riled up. But like I said, it's like, it's bordering, what he's doing is like bordering on like demagoguery, because he's just like, oh, like he's getting like cheers from people where he's like, if I had it my way, Luke would still be alive. Am I right? And people are like, oh my God, like Mark's with us. But it's like, stop. Like, the movie was great. Like, I'm not saying people can't disagree with the movie being great, but like, give me like a rational argument other than like, this isn't what George wanted, you know, or like, this isn't what Mark thinks.
It's your best performance literally ever.
Right?
Like, be happy with it and take some pride in it. But
so, Mark,
again,
come around,
I love him.
Man. Don't be a Luke at the beginning of The Last Jedi, man. Be a Luke at the end of The Last Jedi.
Mark, on behalf of all the droid heads, I want to say that we want you to come on the pod. Set the record straight, all right? Come on. We've got a couple invites out for people to join us.
We appreciate your passion for it, of course.
Well, I think this does it for the abbreviated edition of the Droids We're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Guys, is there any other news we have not touched on that we should get into before we wrap up this pod?
I would just two really quick things. First, just on that note, I would actually love, I know that, you know, if we occasionally get people writing in, and I would say, like, if you like, I would love to hear people's opinions of The Last Jedi. And I would also love to hear people's opinions of like, are we off base on, you know, are we being too hard on Marky Mark? You know, like, is he like, am I just misreading this or like being overly defensive of a film that I really liked? So I would love to like hear if anybody out there is, you know, wants to write in and like send thoughts our way. I would absolutely welcome that and would love to like, you know, continue to talk about the film. The only other thing was I did see an article. I can't remember where. I can look it up here. But I think Rian Johnson did do another recent interview where he basically sort of acknowledged, you know, all the controversy over The Last Jedi, and basically was like, yeah, well, you know, I was really happy with it. I'm going to go make my trilogy now. The same, you know, something like that. And
I'm doing A-okay. Thanks, guys.
And I think. Like, I think and I hope that's true. I think he seemed to have a really healthy attitude towards, like, the praise, like, a healthy attitude towards all the praise and towards, like, the criticisms. And I hope that he keeps that in balance and just, like, goes forth with, like, the same approach he took to Last Jedi. Like, take that forward, man. Like, whether we like it or don't, as individuals, like, I'm excited by what you're doing. Like in the Star Wars world. So I, you know, that's the only other thing I read this week.
So Ryan, if you want to come on the pod.
Yes, please. Yeah. Like seriously, please. Please come. I have a couch you could stay on.
I'm sure he needs it.
Well, that will do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Sad to not have Chris with us, but we'll get him back next time. And we will be back to talk more. I think this is not going to be the end of these discussions of maybe behind-the-scenes issues, problems that have come up in the production of these films, and there'll be more to talk about going forward. Thanks for listening to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.